This is episode 87. Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Coming to you without a D nose whistler. It's the tone control.
That's so gross.
Listen to my nose.
I have a little bit of a nose whistle. Hoping that comes out on the show.
I'm not hearing the whistle that much. I'm just hearing a lot of like back and forth.
A little huffing and puffing. I'm going to blow your house down.
Yeah. Hey. It's the tone control.
It's going to be a weird one, everybody. All right, I haven't looked at the notes yet. What do I got in store? Oh, should I add this? Remember that thing I mentioned? I can add this.
Yeah, I was actually just looking that up and
I got an email right here. Learn more. Hold on, guys, you're seeing, dear listener, you're seeing how the yogurt gets made.
Is that a thing people don't typically want to see made?
I don't know. Is that what that expression is supposed to refer to? Stuff you don't.
The expression is like kind of seeing, I don't want to see how the sausage is made because sausage is generally like a bunch of gross stuff.
Okay.
But
yogurt is so natural.
But yogurt, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing how yogurt's made, I guess.
Right on. Okay, let's see. This is.
Oh, I had a tab and I just closed it like an idiot.
You're a fool. Anyway, that's the thing. I'm gonna do link.
It's a race. Oh, you beat
me. I'm the victor. Okay, let me open the other links here. Let me do it.
Oh my goodness.
What's happening?
Oh. I'm just quickly watching the video on this, and apparently
I haven't watched
the sound
yet.
The sound on videos no longer just goes right to my headphones like it always did. It now goes to my desktop speakers, and that's what's happening. Okay, well, yeah, sorry about that.
Does it look cool?
It's just like a little video about screen captures and, you know, shows it people mousing around and clicking it and stuff. It's not really.
Oh, it's not. I thought it was the X-Drummer thing.
That's what I was looking at. Yeah, it was just not actually like a demo video. It was just like
it's a teaser.
A little teaser thing.
Should we just do this? We'll just do this live when we get there.
Okay.
Right.
Sure. How are you?
Doing okay. Doing okay. I'm gonna make it.
Yeah.
I was working on this guitar. A client had their guitar go dead on them.
Oh.
He said it made a crazy noise and then went silent.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, verified not the cable, not the amp, et cetera. So I was like, okay, we'll bring it over. And it's, I think it's an Ibanez. Yeah, it's not in front of me right now. It's an Ibanez. It's got EMGs in it. Okay. Battery's good. So I was like, okay. So it's actually a thing. It's not like, I was half, you know,
not that
I expected him to hand me something with a dead battery and go, I was going to call him up. If it was a dead battery, I would have been like, how long have you had this guitar? Did you just get this last week and you didn't know it had a battery?
It's
in
like,
it?
Oh, I broke a string, better sell a guitar.
Yeah. <It's> like, no, but I started poking around and I started with all the hard stuff. I'm going to tell this story sort of backwards. I started with all the hard stuff, and the problem was much easier than this. I'm like doing my multimeter tests. I verify the load of each pickup, try each position on the switch, do the volume knob. Everything's reading correctly. And then I just start checking continuity, and I find that I'm just getting a lot of beeps. And so you know what a continuity is. So on a multimeter, you can usually put them into continuity mode, and it's just whenever the two poles are electrically connected. it beeps. Yeah, it's just a button.
When the circuit completes.
Yeah, so you can check to make sure the connections are actually connected.
It's just simple on-off.
That's right, It's not. I'm not measuring anything except that whether the metal's connected. And and then I plug a guitar cable into it, and I check, and the sleeve and the tip of the guitar cable, the other end, are continuity. So wait,
it was the cable?
No. It's not the cable. It was my cable. It means the entire guitar is shorted to ground. And it's in the jack. So the jack itself is shorting to its own ground. And so it's like everything's fine in the circuit. And I'm like, what's going on? And then, the entire thing's shorted. So anyway, he went to the store and picked up a jack today. I didn't have time to get out, but he was near the store, and hopefully I'll be able to get it back together.
Nice. Yeah, that's an easy fix.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was hoping it was going to be, I don't know, that I'm glad I found that instead of like,
Well, because like active pickups are a whole thing, and like maybe it could be something with that system, and like that would have sucked. And you're not,
these are pretty simple. EMG it doesn't, expert. It, I don't think it has a preamp in it. Well, I mean, I guess the pickups themselves must just be powered. Like they must have their own some kind of preamp kind of thing, like a condenser mic. But there's no like controls or circuit board or anything in there. Whatever it is within the pickup housing itself. So I didn't even get into that. But anyway.
Well, that's good. It's usually something.
Stuff
that breaks, stuff that gets used a lot, switches, knobs, jacks, things that like get a lot of wear and tear.
I've never seen a jack short out to itself. And I also don't know how old the guitar is. Like, it doesn't look damaged either, the jack.
I had a jack straight up break on me once.
Just like the pin years broke and years out. Ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Long time ago.
It's going to happen once in a while. It's a $4.50 part.
It was right when I like just was, it was my first electric guitar. I bought it used and like I had it for a little while. And the thing, like I plugged my guitar in and then the cable just fell out because there was nothing holding the cable in.
Yeah.
And then the little connector, the little tip thing on the jack itself fell out with it.
Right.
And I was like, oh man, bummer. Okay. So I bring the guitar. I must have been like, I don't know, 14 or something. I bring the guitar to the local shop, which is mostly just like not even like a great guitar store. They were just kind of like a music store, music instrument rental place the local high schools and all that. But they had some guitars and they would do this kind of thing. So I brought the thing in. The guy's looking at it. I was like, yeah, this just fell out of my guitar. Can you guys repair this for me? And he was like looking at it and he's like, oh yeah, no problem. It's from a Tele. And I was like, no. It's from this guitar that it was on the in the case on the ground.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's this. It was my Epiphone Les Paul. And at the time I thought nothing of that, but now looking back, I was just thinking of this like a week or two ago. There is no fucking way this guy would know that it was from one guitar or another based on the little pin inside the jack. Cause like all jacks are just jacks.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, okay. So actually there are different kinds and, but it's like some are like enclosed, so some you'd pull it out, you'd see like a plastic tube rather than just bare metal.
No, but this was just a straight up.
It was just a piece of metal
that's on like all of my guitars, and all the guitars I've ever played have always had just a regular Joe Schmo quarter inch jack.
Yep. Oh, my Tele and my Les Paul copy both have the same jacks in them.
Yeah. Even if you get a fancy Switchcraft thing, like it's still just a regular piece of metal. And this guy's like, oh, this must be from a Tele. Come on, man.
Pretty weird. He was very impressive though at the time.
Well, he was wrong, so he wasn't that impressive.
But he thought he was
this from an early 90s Epiphone Les Paul? I would have been like, yes, it is. That's amazing.
It's a hit. Score.
How do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, that's fun. What are you drinking? I saw you have a drink.
Well, that's just fizzy water, but this.
Oh,
hold on.
Oh, is
this
it?
This doesn't fit in my fancy case because it's so tall.
Yes.
The consolation prize. Double IPA from Lord Hobo Brewing Company. that Derek sent to me.
Yeah. Those are the guys that make boom sauce.
Yeah, that's right. I remember we had one last, in the last delivery, the previous delivery, I had a hell of a time getting that sentence out.
How do you like it?
I haven't opened it yet.
Okay.
I like it very much. It's really awesome.
That's great.
Okay, hold on. Everybody shut up. Be quiet for this. It tastes like a warm fall afternoon. This is surprisingly mellow for a double.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Very drinkable.
Yeah.
It tastes like the label looks. It's sort of a very regal, understated dark brown.
Yeah. It is not as intense as some other double IPAs, including their own Boom Sauce.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably why they called it that.
Probably. But what's interesting is, like, I think this is like their kind of hard to find. The consolation prize is their like top tier sort of hard to find beer. And I don't know if I like it as much as Boom Sauce, and which is you can get everywhere. So I don't know. It's just know. Like having a little bit of a crisis about it. But
you make it a special occasion beer.
Yeah. I'm drinking a beer called Green from Treehouse Brewing. And the can's green and it says Green.
Their Treehouse, are they just different colored trees? Are all their beers different colors?
All the cans are different colors. Mm-hmm. And they're another one of those like New England style leading the pack in the double IPA mm-hmm. category. And I have a bunch of stuff from them. This is the first one I had and it's super good. It's a little bit sweet, which is kind of interesting. But anyway.
Right on.
This is actually the Tone Control. So
this is the Tone Control.
It is not the episode where we're just going to ramble on for an hour.
Derek.
And never get to gear news. Not yet.
Derek.
One day.
Derek. I'm saying your name.
What? Oh, thanks, Justin.
Thanks for naming me.
Anyway, play the robot.
Okay. Checked the volume on this. Let's see how this goes.
Thanks to Pedal Genie for sponsoring the Tone Control. Visit pedalgenie.com and start your wish list today.
A little hot, but I got a compressor on it to save the day, so it's all good.
not a lot on the notes this week, unfortunately. I just didn't really see a lot that was kind of interesting mm-hmm. enough for me to throw in here. Small, like, you know, new pedals get released here and there, but nothing that really blew me away.
Music Mesa is over, so, right?
Yeah.
So they're probably spent.
And even then, like, I didn't really see tons of, like, you know, usually you see Music Mesa coverage,
yeah.
like you do for NAMM.
Yeah, it didn't seem like as big a deal.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't exactly looked for it, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I usually just get force-fed, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't that big a show this year or something.
Maybe. I felt the same way. I didn't see much about it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, shall we?
Let's do it.
Cool.
Polytune 3.
Oh. Yeah, up first from TC. Polytune 3.
How can you iterate a tuner again?
Ask Boss. They've got the Wazacraft edition now. I love that it doesn't turn off.
Okay, boy. Anyway, so sometimes more really is more.
I have a Polytune 1.
Yep, me too.
And so do you. And it's
still
great.
A good tuner.
I love it. Now, this version, the Polytune 3, has TC's, what they call the bona fide buffer, built right in.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So you could buy the Bonafide buffer, which is just like a little single wide,
yeah.
like miniature pedal size. Mm-hmm. That was just a buffer that would sit on your pedal board. Didn't even have an on switch or an off switch. It was just always on. So you could have a buffer in the middle of your chain or the beginning or end or whatever you needed. Now this tuner has it built in and you can switch the tuner from true bypass to buffered bypass and it uses TC's high quality buffer.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
You're switching between buffer modes. Yeah, so it's always on when you're
if you're running the buffer.
When you're in buffer mode. Cool. Yeah. I love that it doesn't turn off.
It still features the ultra bright LEDs from the Polytune 2.
And it still mutes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so this isn't still fucking stupid like the Boss one.
No, no. It's just they've added the buffer, and it is you can set it to always on while you're using the buffer mode.
Yeah, right.
So super bright LEDs. It does the polyphonic tuning, which they call like strum tune rock or something, where you strum your guitar and it shows you the readout of all six strings and how close to pitch they are. It'll do strobe mode, which is super accurate, of course, and then just regular needle tuner, which is what I use.
I usually use needle too. Strobe, I really don't like unless I'm playing a bass.
Yeah.
On any tuner. I don't know why. It just doesn't... I guess maybe because guitars swing more or maybe... I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I can control the swing on a bass. Like I can let it roll sharp and then roll flat and I know I'm in the right zone. But
I should try the strobe mode on my drop C guitar because sometimes my tuner... I have like a regular like real needle tuner over here that I use. Like
needle.
A regular... Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it like that low C and if it's in A, it has a pretty hard time hearing it.
Uh-huh.
And like I have to like let it, it's because it's A1,
right?
So it's really 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 low and I have to like let it sustain for a good long while before it starts to pick it up.
And you may have already swung flat by then kind
of
thing.
Maybe so. Drop A guitar is doing well. It's right here.
I see it. That's fun.
It's still just like totally savagely low. And My little office rig here, which is an orange Micro Terror and a 112, just no tightness whatsoever. Just absolutely none. Totally flib-flabby, gross. Can't handle it.
Yuck.
Did you lose me or something?
Sorry. My wife was texting me. My wife's out to dinner with friends and is asking me how our baby is. She's asleep. She's still alive. Go back to having
you made a face and I was like, I'm going to keep talking because like
I was trying to get it in and rejoin without that awkward pause, but I failed. So
it has a hard, like I can load up a sim and pull up some high gain amp with like an overdrive and a noise gate and stuff. And then it's really tight and it sounds really great. But like my actual speaker amp setup here is like,
yeah. It does take a particular kind of amp
kind of rig.
They don't
it's still wicked fun though. Man, it's so cool.
Can you do it can you do it with pedals? Like if you had like a high gain pedal, would that
when I run this guitar, I make the, because the Micro Terror has volume, tone and gain controls. Mm-hmm. So I, which is like master volume and input volume essentially, so I'll totally juice the gain all the way up and then add an overdrive in front of it, which is level maxed and gain really low. And then the one that I have has some tone shaving on it. So I'll just kind of like, there's so much low end. So I'll cut a lot of the bass and boost the mids and stuff. But doing it with the max level and low gain is kind of the way to be, because it really increases the tightness and it hits the amp way harder, but then the amp kind of gates it back down with the master volume. And then you're also not adding any like real color from the pedal to the sound, which is kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's not the best overdrive. It's the TC Mojo thing, but it's what I got and it works. Yeah. Tube Screamer or something would really be the way to go,
I suppose, but that's a fine drive and it's got bass and...
It's got the bass and treble boost and cut.
Right.
So...
Yeah. Who are these clowns? Gathering of Forces.
Hmm? Oh, I don't know. Oh, no, that's Mastodon.
Oh,
that's,
why does it say Gathering of Forces?
I don't know why it says that, but that's definitely Mastodon.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I recognize the guy's hand tattoo now. Now that I'm looking for it.
Oh, probably because it's a tuner and the buffer together. They have gathered the forces.
Okay. Their marketing
usually
is too
there's
cool
a little
for
thing
me.
That has like
yeah like or, who this know, is and, oh, Mastodon, and why yeah. yeah Mastodon likes a buffer.
Oh, artists using Polytune. You go down to the bottom. Brent Hines, Mastodon.
Okay. Awards.
Brad Whitford, Bumblefoot, the guy from Whitesnake. doesn't say the guy from Whitesnake.
It says his name, but we're not going to say it.
Oh, boy. All right. Speaking of pedals, should we move on?
Oh, the Polytune plugin. I was like, what is this like triple wide month? It's like a delay pedal they made. No, it's a plugin of the Polytune.
It'll tune. You have tuning presets on that one.
You wait. Next month, that's going to come out from Boss. Those guys. All right.
Someone has thought of that, I bet.
Yeah.
Where you have like an ABC for like standard, dadgad, and like open C or something. Yeah. Like, that's got to be it on the cutting room floor somewhere.
Probably.
Anyway, all right. Next up, IK Multimedia has partnered with Fulltone to release the Fulltone Collection.
In Amp Sims. Okay, right on. No, I didn't.
Yeah, so this is a package for Amplitube.
Right. Okay. Yes. That's all right. Amplitube 4. Fulltone Collection, right. And Amplitube 4. So this can all be had. You can get in with the Fulltone bundle for $149 right now on Reverb.
Yeah. It's on sale. Otherwise, it would be $209, mm-hmm. which is still not bad. It's like the whole Amplitube collection, but they've now partnered with Fulltone, so they've got the actual Fulltone branded pedals baked right into the software.
Cool.
So they've got an OCD. I saw this in the first place because Reverb.com did a shootout of a real OCD running through an Amplitube amp sim.
Okay.
And the OCD sim running through the same amp, right. sim. So they only changed the pedal.
Yeah.
And it was like really good. It's definitely different, but it's in most of the settings, it was like all but a dead ringer. Mm-hmm. Like it was really right on. And definitely something that is totally usable because the OCD is like, you know, that's one of the great pedals of all time kind of thing. And it's got a really unique sound.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I kind of expected to be like, well, you know, the real one's better or whatever. But I was happily convinced.
Yeah, I think modeling's there. The tricky part with guitar stuff is the variance that can happen with with impedances and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I bet they're as close as they could possibly get without being able to match like what that input jack is electrically load wise to the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Or I don't know if I'm phrasing it backwards. Does the guitar load the pedal or does the pedal load the guitar? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I can't remember which way it goes. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty good.
So they've also got, along with the OCD, the TERC or That 80s Rat Chorus, which from the Fulltone Custom Shop. Is something you can buy. You can buy this Fulltone 80s Rat Chorus. And it's like just, it's the sound.
Stereo analog chorus, huh?
Yep.
Pretty good.
Let's see.
Fulltone's.
Based on the nearly impossible to find Dynamite Piano unit.
I've never heard of it. I don't know.
Well.
Turns out.
But it's. It's one of those rack units that was present pretty much everywhere for a long time, especially with session guitarists.
Mm-hmm.
So, such as Steve Lukather, Michael Landau, and so on. But also sounds great, obviously. And then there's also the SSTE, or Solid State Tape Echo, which is another thing you can buy physically from Fulltone. Mm-hmm. They've moved into software.
Solid-state tape echo just means not tube. It doesn't mean software. I mean, this is software, but aren't they emulating their actual... They made a tape echo.
No, I'm saying they did. Yeah, it's called the solid-state tape echo, and you can buy it as you can like buy a unit.
Derek, money can be exchanged for goods and services.
is that Futurama?
The Simpsons, actually.
That's right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Where Homer's like thinking it was like apples or something, right? He's like thinking of.
It was like he needed something. It was
his brain peanuts. Is trying to convince himself to do
this. I need more peanuts. All I've got is this worthless money. And his brain says, but with money, you can get more peanuts. And he says, explain. Money can be exchanged for goods and services. Woohoo! Oh. All right, there's the whole scene.
Beer.
I'm looking at the graphics. What's the crusher?
Oh, I'm going to guess it's like a compressor or something, right? Where are you seeing that?
I'm just picking through the graphics of this bundle, and one of them has a bunch of... I guess these things don't all have to be full-tone things. I shouldn't be talking about... Cut this all out.
No, because it's still all the Amplitude stuff.
So are there other expansion packs for Amplitude?
Oh, yeah. Just like with Positive Grid, there's like the high gain kit and the jazz kit and like the acoustic kit. There's all that sort of stuff.
So this package is the full Amplitude plus the expansion for full tone. And then there will be other expansions that you could add additionally, probably.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. But this is the full, of your full basic Amplitude version, not the light free version or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's currently 29% off on Reverb. For $150, pretty good deal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So right on.
Mac and Windows, check out the plugins and standalone.
Check out the comparison video. They do a really good... Reverb's really killing it with the shootouts lately. They've been doing all this like, not sure the difference between P90s and humbuckers, and they'll like...
That's really valuable.
They'll use like the YouTube features that let you... They're like anchoring to timestamps in the video. So you can click on the screen. Yeah. So you can do like, they've got one for guitar pickups that's like vintage single coils, modern single coils, P90s, wide range, vintage humbuckers, modern humbuckers.
And you can snap right to them.
You can snap right to them. And then they've got like clean, dirty, and then high gain. Mm-hmm. And you can just jump between all these different sounds. And they've done it with fuzz pedals. They've done it with the pickup thing. And this one with OCD is like a little bit, it's just the two things. Yeah. So they don't let you click through, but it's still like really, they're doing a great job with that stuff.
Sweet.
Yep.
That's a cool pedal. Sorry.
You're tilting your head like
I forgot you could see me. cool.
Cool. Hey, you want to do pedal gym?
Yeah, sure. Hold the phone for a second. Actually, I'm holding the phone.
You're holding the phone, you nerd.
Idiot. Dummy. All right, here we go.
Pedal Genie is like the Netflix of guitar pedals. Rent any pedal you want for as long as you want, for one low monthly price. Shipping is included and there are no late fees or time limits. With over 1,500 pedals to try from nearly 100 different manufacturers, Pedal Genie definitely has the gear you want to try. Subscriptions start with Flex at just $19.95 a month. Try out one pedal at a time for as long as you want, send it back when you're ready for the next one. For only $39.95 a month, the standard subscription includes shipping, so you could have a different pedal every few days. If one isn't enough for you, Pedal Genie Pro gets you three pedals at a time for only $64.95 a month, shipping included. There's a subscription for everyone and best of all, your first month is free. If you find the pedal of your dreams, the one you just have to keep, Pedal Genie will offer you a buyout option. Prices vary with the length of your membership and the type of pedal, but you'll definitely get an awesome price for the pedal in your hand. So head to pedalgenie.com to fill up your wish list with pedals, and they'll send out your first pedal ASAP. Pedal Genie, all your pedal wishes granted.
Boom!
This beer makes no apologies as it coats the palate with intense hop goodness.
Sounds like it's cough syrup.
It is the result of uncompromising dedication to fresh, progressive, delightful beer.
Good God. Laying it on a little thick, huh?
We hope you enjoy it with laughter, good cheer, and the company of those you love. Man, these guys are just...
That's something else.
Woo! I almost like want to not do those things just to prove them wrong. Anyway, okay, so you still had the...
I still have the thing. I'm still waiting to finish this session where I was planning on using this pedal. It's starting to get awkward how long I have it. Is there something else?
Pedal genie,
what else
though?
Can I do a demo of? Should I do a demo of something else?
Just to, like, make a new one, I guess. I don't know.
Make a new thing.
Yeah. Do you want to just mention what it is again real quick?
Oh, the pedal I still have is the the B7K Ultra Microtubes B7K Ultra from Dart Glass. Sorry, I looked.
Checks pedal intensely.
I always try to say BK7 instead of B7K.
Checking intensifies.
Wait, I've talked about it in the last two episodes. I don't need to talk about it anymore.
So it's the BK7?
No, it's the B7K. But BK7 is what I keep trying to say. That's why I was just staring at it, because I can't...
It's the B7K Ultra, right?
That's right.
Okay. It reminds me of MK Ultra.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, that's probably not great, but that's what comes to mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, maybe you'll do a demo, maybe you won't.
Right. Maybe...
Probably won't.
Yeah, maybe I won't, because I'm kind of busy this week. But anyway.
Anyway, all right. Well, I had the Catalan Bread Perseus.
Perseus. I think we heard about this when it was announced. Talked about this when it was announced.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. Catalan Bread pedals are always smaller than I think they are. Find a small, teeny box. This is a sub-octave fuzz. So massive and thundering, you'll regret turning it off. And it is wild. It is so sub-fuzzy, sludgy, glitchy, synthy greatness.
It's destruction.
It is all over the place, man. So we've got some controls. There's volume, which is just output. It's super hot. So like Unity is like 10 o'clock or something.
Okay.
Cut and blend. And blend will, of course, blend in the sub-octave sound to your dry sound. Mm-hmm. And cut is like a frequency shaping thing. I liked it pretty low.
Okay.
They said turn the cut control full counterclockwise for maximum bass frequency domination.
I see. Okay. It's like a tilt EQ-ish thing.
Because it's like such a rich, thick, woolly fuzz, you kind of want those lows in there.
Yeah.
But you know, dialing it up from zero, I kind of found it the most usable up until about 10 o'clock. You can get some like really crazy cool sounds elsewhere, mm-hmm. but if you're going to use this for any sort of real rhythm playing, because you can turn the blend off and use it as a regular like thick, super thick fuzz.
Okay, the blend is just the octave; it's not the fuzz. Yeah,
right. So if you're going to use it as a regular fuzz, you need to have the blend down and the cut pretty low, I think. But otherwise, I liked the blend in like no higher than 12 o'clock, because otherwise it's at like 50-50.
Right.
So you can go 100% wet on it, which is just like too much to handle. And then there's also a mini toggle switch for one octave or two octaves down. So it just gets like...
Nice.
It's madness. Yeah. Really cool stuff above the 12th fret. Really synthy, because you're already in that upper register on the guitar and you can bring it down another octave and then two octaves. And, mm-hmm. And it's like, it really reminded me of CKY and that sort of guitar sound. Like that.
I don't even remember it.
You'd know it if you heard it. It's like...
maybe I will hear it.
It's a guitar sound that's like... I think they were using a Boss octave, sub-octave pedal, which just...
What's a good song?
You've probably heard 96 Quite Bitter Beings.
Well, I'm about to have heard it.
Oh,
I don't think it's playing into the right device. Yeah, this is octave for sure.
Oh, yeah, right? So it kind of reminded me of that sort of feel.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun with, like, single notes and, like, arpeggiated licks and stuff.
Right.
It's because it's a sub-octave, it's really, like, synthy, but it responds really well to string bending, and there's, like, these weird overtones that happen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't track super well all the time, which kind of gives it, like, this...
It's analog, right?
So it kind of gives it this cool, like, jumpy thing.
How does it do that?
I don't fucking know, man. It's crazy.
How do you do an analog? Never mind.
So then get this. There's also a gate in the pedal that's just totally choking off notes, because otherwise it would be super noisy. Uh-huh. So you'll be sustaining this like massive like huge sub octave thing, and then it just goes like it stops. It just completely, there's no decay in the sound until it's off. It's so crazy. So I played this on my drop C guitar today. And I was like, there's no way this thing is going to sound cool. And I was super wrong.
Awesome.
So the demo I did is the drop C guitar, which is my PRS Zach Myers model. Just a simple like Fender Blackface style amp, totally clean. This is a super like rich, fuzzy, thick pedal. So the amp is crystal clear. And then just a little bit of, I put like a little bit of an EQ pedal on that as well, just to get like the mids up. So it's kind of more present in.
It was a little disappeary.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. So not a whole lot there, but it's really cool. I think I like it most on the one octave down. Two down is just a little too much sometimes. Maybe if I had a different kind of setup.
Maybe if you weren't playing a drop C guitar, fool.
Well, I was playing my standard guitars as well, but yeah. I think maybe if I had a different kind of setup with like, you know, I was able to be super loud, mm-hmm. or had like ton more speakers and bass response and stuff like that, then the two down would be cool too. It's not that it sounds bad. It's just, I think the one octave is kind of where this thing shines the most.
Mm-hmm. It's much more reasonable.
Just like ripping savagery. Mm-hmm. Pagan rock.
Pagan. Is that the power? Speaking of pagans, is that the power jack below the output?
It is, yeah. It's on the output side, which I can't decide if that...
That doesn't make it any better.
But, you know, the pedal's pretty small.
What the fuck does that have to do with it?
I'm just saying. It sounds cool. Yeah. I mean, it sucks that it's
That's
there.
That's fine.
I don't really suffer from the problem that much because I just plug this pedal in by itself. Yeah. And put it into my amp. So
it's just a bad place to put it, but it ends up there on so many pedals. There must be something about designing pedals that it's like easier to put it there or something. I mean, I imagine that. All right. So if I'm going to play devil's advocate here,
even if they took the case and like just flipped it over and like, you know what I mean? Even if it was on next to the input or output, but above it, I'd have like a much easier time.
But I'm looking at this and going, okay, so there's potentiometers under those knobs. There's an LED in there. And the top of the pedal is probably where it gets crowded. And the bottom is just the switch. There's a bunch of open space, blah, blah, blah. So they're probably just putting it there for sort of convenience of design. But I mean, it's DC.
It's totally not convenience of pedal board design, though.
Yeah.
You know,
it's DC. There's no reason to like in some gear, you separate parts of the power supply from the audio path components because they can induce interference. And if there's AC going on in the power supply, but there's not. So it's not that. You can put it right next to signal wire. It's not going to be an issue.
I mean, it must just be. I mean, look at this. This little mini toggle switch is right on the top. Like, there's got to be a lot of bullshit going on inside.
So put this pedal. That could go friggin' down by the LED. Anyway, whatever. I'm not gonna redesign. I think it's like, I would just like to see a pedal designer put in the extra, you know, hour or whatever when they're laying out their PCB to like put the goddamn power thing on the top. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you got to wonder how much more expensive it would make a pedal, how much bigger it would make a pedal.
Yeah. Is Catalan bread
probably not
British?
That much, but I don't think so. Hmm. I have no idea, though, I guess.
Well, if they're not, why? They spell behavior wrong.
You sure they're not just being really cool about it? They are from Portland, Oregon.
Well, then they are. In that case, right, I don't feel them, I at all bad about picking on them about the DC power jack. Put it in a better spot. You pretentious bastards.
Put a bird on
it. Yeah, and then put a fucking bird on it. Perseus! Okay. Yeah. All anyway, right. Yeah, that's so, the size of it, huh? Hey, yeah, since this is the Pedal Genie segment, they're committing to the pre-printed return labels now.
Oh, yeah. I have yet to get one of those. I'm really excited.
Yeah, they just sent out an email, I think yesterday, saying the pre-printed emails are for pre-printed return labels return are label. For real. I said glitchy opening, but they're back and for real this time, which is convenient. Not that it was like ever a problem before, but, you know, if your printer's out of ink, that's a bad way to find out because you're delayed getting a new pedal back, you know. So that's cool. Also, did you find out about... Cut all this out, Justin. I'm just going to leave in the part where I said cut all this out.
What was cut?
Oh,
you'll never know.
They're talking about us behind our... Yes, it was about you, whoever you are.
You specifically. In the car, / at the gym, / at home, / at work. You... Okay, anyway, thanks to Pedal Genie, as always, for sponsoring the Tone Control. Head there, sign up, tell them you heard about it here. We'd appreciate that, and we appreciate you.
That was good, Derek. I really like that.
I try.
Yeah. So last on our short, silly list is a late addition, but... We've gotten a few emails... lately, and the theme, not that they were all asking the same question or for the same sort of discussion, but the theme was like, okay, I'm making music, and it's like I have a small computer or an iPad or something. What do I get that's going to allow me to, you know, play my guitar and have some backup stuff like my keyboards and synths or drums or whatever? People were asking about what I use to do the drums that are in the pedal demos and stuff like that, which is a plugin in Pro Tools. I'm using Steven Slate drums as a plugin. And sometimes it's loops. The old ones I had were just audio loops that were pre-recorded, but now I can make more customized stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the thing is, like, I don't have the answer about the synth stuff. I'm happy to participate in the discussion, but I don't really know squat about synthesizers. When I do use them, it's like a virtual synth, and I find a preset that's sort of close to what I want, and I twist it, and sometimes I get something a little closer to what I wanted. But I feel like I have such a superficial understanding of synths and stuff like that, so I can't really say anything about that. But the drums thing... I also like felt like I couldn't answer that question because what you're talking about is like something that will generate drums. Like what I'm working on is, I think Steven Slate Drums isn't standalone at all, I'm pretty sure. So like I'm just using it as a plugin. That would be such a bear for somebody to use. I mean, you can't use plugins in GarageBand. So you're into, like, you have to have one of these more high-end DAWs that is a VST host or something.
And then even if you do, like, if you pick up Reaper, which I just did.
Okay, yeah.
You get it. You don't know how to use it because it's not exactly...
Yeah.
GarageBand at least has, like, silly tutorials and, like, pretty understandable interfaces.
Now you've got, you know, 15 or 20 hours of watching YouTube videos ahead of you before you can get back to the... ease of use that you had with GarageBand, you know, not that like these programs are difficult to use, but because they're so much more feature packed, it makes things a little more complicated. So this flew by my inbox and I thought this isn't a guitar thing, but it actually answers a question.
It answers a bunch of questions. And I think it's going to answer a question for me also.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And I think it answers questions for guitarists who are trying to complete writing their songs and lay down real demos.
Yeah.
Totally solo.
Mm-hmm. And keep it simple while they're doing it. So this is an iPad app from Positive Grid called XDrummer. And it seems like they're taking this sort of feels like the ease of use of what Logic Pro's drummer is supposed to be.
Which I've heard great things about. I haven't used it either.
I've never used Logic, but this is an iPad app that claims to be able to, and we haven't actually used this yet or anything. I got the email yesterday, but this guy will, you can create drums and different drum sounds. They're going to have a cloud section at some point. It says coming in Q2. Hey, we're in Q2 right now. So anyway, there's supposed to be like a cloud where people can trade drum set patterns and presets, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But the big deal thing here, I think, is it will listen to your track and mm-hmm. apparently analyze it. I mean, it's easy to analyze something for tempo and rhythm. And then right. I think if you tell it what sort of, I think you probably have to feed it what genre you're going to be, you know what I mean? Like playing rock? Are you playing metal? Are you playing jazz? Are you playing blues? And then it's mm-hmm. going to know kind of what to go for, but it's supposed to listen to your track and then create a drum pattern, kind of the way you would if you were sitting down with like a session drummer. They'd listen to your song. And, oh, so it's going to, well, I guess I'm assuming what it's going to do, but. I would love to know that it like hears where chorus changes happen and things like that and understands those things.
Yeah. It also says here that you can individually adjust the instrument itself. So different types of drums. So whether it's like probably things like modern rock kit, classic jazz kit.
And looks like individual drums too. I'm looking, they're changing a 10 inch tom for a 12 inch tom and so on.
Yep. And you can do the dampening, the drum head.
Nice.
The resonance and attack and the pitch of that drum.
So you're right down to the tuning and everything.
Yeah.
And you can change their color.
You can change the color. So like that's just probably for like.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be able to change the color?
I want the kit that I made that's red. Like it's just probably easier to look at these quickly and say like, oh, it's the black one is what I want mm-hmm. for this song.
Gold hardware.
Yeah. So this is, let me tell you my problem. I've got like a stockpile of song ideas mm-hmm. and like riffs. Some of them are more complete than others. I've got ideas for drum parts. As I just jam on it by myself, I'm like kind of like picturing full band mix and picturing like how all the other instruments are going to be. And I, some time ago, was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to create these songs under myself and like release them or something. I want to just like have them out or have them listenable in some way, because that's better than just playing them by myself forever. The problem I'm facing is like I can write all the guitar parts in the world. I can write bass parts. I don't do any vocal stuff, but that's not really the kind of thing I'm writing anyway. Mm-hmm. But the drums has always been like the biggest hurdle. I don't have Pro Tools or Logic. I have Reaper. I don't really know much about it, and I don't really have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Or, like, I have the interest to do it, but it's really just, like, it's going to take so much time and resources from me.
Yeah.
That I can't dedicate that to it right now.
There are definitely standalone drum composition and you know, reproduction programs. Mm-hmm. That I don't really know which ones are good or bad or anything. Like I have the one thing that I use, you know, that's the thing. Like, I don't know about all kinds of other software besides those stuff that I use, because I'm using it for my work and it keeps me from taking time to go, oh, I should play around in Logic so that I know how to use that. No, I have work to do today. You know what I mean? And so that's what happens. Right. And it's not dissing any of the other stuff. So this stuff's out there, but if you had a computer, then you need some way to control it. You need some way to tap it in. Now, a lot of small keyboards have a series of drum pads.
Yeah, but now we're looking at gear.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like, so the iPad steps in. If you have an iPad, and two or three or all of the people who have emailed with similar sort of like, I'm looking for this setups thing mm-hmm. have mentioned have an iPad, haven't they? I'm trying to think, like,
I think
you know, a lot of people have them. If you don't, then maybe this isn't the thing for you, and maybe something on a computer would be better, and you can get a fairly inexpensive controller to go with it. But you have the iPad. I mean, now here's a question. What does this app go for?
$20.
Are you kidding me? It can't possibly sound so bad that it's not worth $20.
Yeah, I think it's got to be using the same type of backend that all the other Positive Grid mm-hmm. stuff does, which sounds great.
Oh, yeah, it fully expected to be quality stuff.
I've said this before, but in case nobody's like familiar, I use the Positive Grid Bias and Jam Up for this podcast every week or every 2 weeks. But like all the pedal demos, all the little bumps between segments and all that stuff, all Positive Grid Jam Up and Bias. Mm-hmm. And it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I have like no problem recording guitars that way anymore.
So
like for me though, I don't know. I have to look into this. I got the email too, but haven't had a chance to read it and look into this very much before right now. But like, I wonder about like, I've got a riff that's like kind of a weird guitar riff, let's say. Mm-hmm. And like, I picture a drum part, a very specific drum part or a very specific fill or something that's like, not something that the app is going to do on its own. You know, it's not, yeah, it's going to put in some four-bar.
But you can
fill.
Customize it. So it has its AI feature where it's going to listen to your song and create something, but then you've got this editor and it's going to be, I'm looking at the pictures here, it's laid out in a timeline. You can pick from a menu of pre-designed patterns, and I'm certain
and you can drag
edit
and drop your,
yeah,
your hits.
And it's going, right? to just look like your timeline in a video or audio editor. And then
I might have to.
And it looks like you can even, yeah, you can even export them as WAV files when you're finished. I'm looking at him doing
right.
It right
so like
now.
I could like jam to this thing live pretty much and write the drum part.
Yeah.
As after I finish the guitar part, move that into GarageBand or whatever,
yep,
then play my parts over it and not have to worry about it fluctuating, not have to worry about pretty much anything.
Right.
Like, once it's done, I can build on top of that.
And you can have it saved in here so you can come back, tweak a fill, send it back out, mm-hmm, replace, you know, and yeah, do you use GarageBand on the iPad or on your computer?
My phone, actually.
Oh.
I don't have a current iPad anymore. I have an old iPad, mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. But I use my phone and my phablet, as some people say.
The six,
but,
six plus.
Yeah. 6S plus.
6S? Oh, excuse me.
I'm on the S cycle. But and it's great for doing like when you although I had a little hiccup with it today. To use GarageBand, you have to like to import the drum tracks, mm-hmm, for this podcast. It has to be an audio file on my phone.
Okay.
In the music player library.
Oh, so you have to put it into iTunes.
I do. Oh. So I have a whole album in iTunes of Tone Control drum loops.
That must be fun when they come on your shuffle. Click, 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 click.
Yeah. I don't really shuffle that often, but yeah,
that's outstanding.
So I this is like, I don't know if anybody has noticed this other than me, but I've been using the same drum loops until today for like this whole time, even as Justin has made new ones, because I just never got around to adding them to iTunes and putting them on my phone.
Well, there was
until
still
today.
Quite a few old ones. I mean, you were still varying it quite a bit.
Yeah, but like I was using like the same 13 of like 30. So you've added like a shitload.
I tend to make a new one almost every... I use an old one maybe every third demo I do. So I try to make a new one because that gives a bigger library for Derek. Little did I know he wasn't taking advantage of that at all.
I know. And I would listen to it and be like, man, I got to use this. And then I just like never have. I got to send the pedal back. I got to get the episode happening. I just never did, mm-hmm, it. So, but today's demo featured a new drum sound. So anyway,
cool.
I do have an iPad here somewhere, and I'm sure it is usable to run this app on its own.
Hopefully, yeah.
But
and there's a bunch of stuff going on now with iOS that where it can interchange audio between apps.
Well, that's what I do. So it can, it's okay. Inter-app audio, it's called.
And, I had it backwards.
and it'll, so I go to GarageBand, mm-hmm, and I hit add new track, and then in there, GarageBand has its own, you know, simple drummer thing. It's got like guitar sounds, yeah, bass sounds, vocal presets, all that kind of garbage. And then all the way at the end is inter-app audio. And you tap this external app thing and it pulls up all available apps that are on your device that it can
could
read.
Have
for
audio
me, it's
in
Jam
them,
Up.
Yeah.
For me, it's Jam Up. So I tap that. It launches Jam Up. But then in Jam Up, there's a little toggle button that appears to jump back to GarageBand, and the same with GarageBand to jump back to Jam Up. So you don't have to double click the home button.
Oh, cool.
You just, there's a actual software button to swap between the two. And then it works like great. I have no problems with it.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful. So this would presumably do the same thing.
Yeah, and I would totally expect this to be happening. I mean, all the Positive Grid stuff is also on full-size computers. So,
yeah,
you know, right around the corner, I would expect anyway. For those of you with computers, 1999, give me a break. It's got...
I'm looking at iPads now.
Average customer rating... Does it have 2 stars? Hold on.
What? Wait, the app?
We just talked about this for ages, and it's currently rated 2 stars. This is version 1.1. There's 8.
Well, it's got 1 4-star.
It says...
1 2-star and 1 1-star.
Oh, that's for all versions?
Oh, hang on. I can't believe that a company with credibility such as Positive Grid would release a $20 app that has 0 direction manual and links to tutorials. Come on, bro. Doesn't make it a bad app.
Okay, so this other person's saying the AI only works through the microphone input. No inter-app audio
for
the AI. So you literally strum your guitar at it, it sounds like, to me. Or play
it's
your
probably
keyboard
just hearing
into
attack.
It. Yeah, it's just reading the peaks.
Hmm. Well, that's not really what I would be using it for. I mean, $20. A lot of these Positive Grid apps are $20.
Yeah.
It's just kind of
so that. I mean, that's a little bit of a limitation because I was sort of picturing you playing your guitar part to a click track, then feeding that guitar part into the AI and having it make a beat. But that doesn't
that's
stop us.
Because I wouldn't really do that. I think
you would probably do the beat first.
Yeah,
well, you wouldn't be using the AI then anyway.
Right. So like, because I've got these riffs already, so I would probably just like hold a guitar and have the iPad in front of me and like start with a basic template and then modify it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then feed that to GarageBand, record guitars over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, the reviews don't talk about it not running or crashing or something like that. So it's probably fine. They're just complaining about it not having enough manuals, I guess.
This stuff goes on sale now and then too, so I'll keep an
eye
on it.
Tutorial videos are so much better than manuals these days anyway.
Plus, it's an iPad app. Like, how complicated can it be? Sorry,
seems like that guy's a baby. Anyway.
Title of that review is Jumped the Shark. Whatever,
idiot.
Man. So Bias is also $20. Bias Effects also $20.
Is there a bundle and get them buy the whole thing for 15% off or something?
I already have the bundle.
Cool.
So, anyway,
yeah, so
yeah.
I think cool. that should help some people. And like I said, there are lots of other options, but yeah, I mean, it's really just a matter of picking a thing. Almost everything generally works. But I'm sorry, yeah. I don't know very much about synths, everybody.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's just not it's not a thing I've done a lot. I try to, in fact, clients sometimes ask me to do things. Oh, we need like a synth part for this. And I'm like, man.
Damn it.
This is good. Well, you know, it's not that I don't think I think I could probably figure it out eventually. It's just I feel like I'm not in my expertise anymore, and I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be to these people. So I always kind of say,
well,
like, geez,
yeah, I mean,
there's somebody out there who can do this way better and faster than me.
It's just a matter of confidence, you know, and being practiced at it, I guess. But yeah, I know what
yeah
you
but
mean.
I don't like I'm not just trying to like, oh, I can do your whole music project and the parts of it I suck at, I'm just gonna muscle my way through and be charging you money the whole time, like that's not how I like to do it. So anyway.
Anyway, all right, well,
was that an okay episode?
You know, we rolled into this and I was like, we got time, there's nothing in this episode, we can talk about whatever we want. Yeah. Here we are an hour later.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every time. We always take almost. Well, we had some that were shorter.
Early on, yeah. Early episodes.
And then we tend to be much later.
Yeah.
I don't mind if they're. I think we're a little long winded sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I think an hour is a good chunk of time for most listeners.
Yeah.
For me, that's like a good like limit for podcasts. I don't know. I've got some that creep over that on the regular, hour and 20, hour and 30, 40. I see it and I'm like, oh, I want to listen to it at 1.5 speed. I do. Yeah. I listen to it or I see it. I'm like, man, all right, I gotta, it just, because I have a lot of podcasts I want to make time for and that makes it hard. Yeah. So
for sure.
We're getting air conditioning installed tomorrow.
Oh, fancy.
Which means this summer I won't have to turn off my air conditioner in the office to record this show. And I can do it comfortably and not die.
you kind of left it on anyway, though, didn't you?
Actually, since we've been in this house, it wasn't that bad. My old place, it was a little noisier.
But. Yeah, because I didn't, I pushed a little extra noise out of it with RX. By the way, new version of RX actually has a bunch of music features. Not that anybody who's wondering what drum app they're going to buy is going to care about RX, but it has some fun stuff in it, like D-Bleed. So you can feed it an audio file. Like if there's something like the classic example, click bleed from the headphones in a vocal mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can feed it an audio file of the click track and it will de-bleed that out of the vocal track. Hmm. Pretty cool.
Cool.
And a bunch of like mouth pretty clicks cool. and deep breathing and extra stuff like that.
Well, will it deep breath?
I'll try it. I've tried it a little bit, and it seems to work pretty well, although I did it on this one thing I was...
Is there a nose whistle?
there's no D-nose whistle. Just have to use spectral repair for that. I'll draw out the thing that looks like a bird. You do enough like documentary dialogue and stuff like that, you learn what birds look like on the spectrograph. So, there's a little kind of jagged line there way up in the middle. Oh, that's a bird. Draw it out. Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Anyway,
indeed.
Thanks to Pedal Genie, as always, for sponsoring. Go to tonecontrolshow.com and talk to us online. And hit us up.
Send us questions we don't know the answer to.
Yeah. You guys have been really good at that lately.
We'll try to people lied about it.
To write out these long-winded answers about how we don't know, and you guys write back. Sounds good.
Thanks, brah.
All right, see ya.
See ya, bye.
To all the components out there in the tone control circuit, thanks for listening.